Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome to Tip TV Finance, where I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Gaurav Sharma, an oil analyst and the business editor at the International Business Times. How are you today, Gaurav?
Good morning. Good to be here. Just our own OPEC preview before the main event on the 25th of May. Well, but I think there's been a bit of an anticlimax, don't you think, Zach, in the market?
Looks well, like no news is good news for the oil price. No massive correction or anything else. So, how have OPEC managed to do it?
Well, you know, how shall we say it? We were discussing before we went on air. The OPEC put is back with a vengeance, or as the Americans call it, the OPEC subsidy. So it's a market that's definitely behaving normally. If you look at the first chart and get that out of the way straight away, there you go. So you see the OPEC benchmark is trailing both the main benchmarks, the Brent and the West Texas. And we've had some tos and fros, but this is a rather narrow mapping scale, which shows you that it's this range that we have fluctuated on. But we're still lower than where we were at the start of the year. That's because around about March, if you see on that chart where you see Brent being at $55, that's where Mr. Khalid Al-Falih, the energy minister, as he's now called, not just about oil and gas, said, we will not subsidize the market. The market shouldn't assume that the Saudis will keep watering the shoots of recovery. And bang, the oil price started falling. And suddenly there was panic. Everybody, including Ms. Al-Falih, went back on their words and said, what I meant was that we are monitoring the situation and that we just might roll over these cuts. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about 1.8 million barrels per day. That's between OPEC and 11 non-OPEC producers, as the new jargon is, coming together. So rumor mill says, and I have good sources in Vienna, rumor mill says that this will be rolled over to around about the end of March to middle of April 2018. Now, that's a pretty hefty extension. If you
say, you already heard that? Is that already out? Has that already been?
I think it's, well, the Kuwaitis have said so. The Algerians said so. Even the Iraqis have come out and said so. And the Russians always saying, let's back this. So the Saudis and the Russians had a meeting in Beijing a few weeks ago. And they both issued a joint statement, now read what you want to into it, saying we will do whatever it takes to support the market. Now that's as ambiguous as it gets if you want to be, or it's as clear as it gets if you want it to be. Now, what will happen as a consequence? Well, not will happen, it's already happening. I was in Texas a fortnight ago, and the average hedge taken by all these mom and pop independents, even the guys who are producing somewhere around 25 to 30,000 barrels per day, which in the scheme of things is a very low production, they've taken out hedges somewhere at about $45. So whatever OPEC does, I do not see a decline in American production. Baker Hughes, drilling info, look at all these rig counts that are coming out, whatever your preference is. And each of them seems to be indicating that the number of rigs is going up. Last Friday was the 18th successive week that the Baker Hughes rig count has gone up. The International Energy Agency, the Americans' own research, and a lot of independent observers say that the U.S. production is on an upward curve. It's probably around about where it was, will soon be rather, where it was in April 2015, and is expected to go higher, the highest since records began in the United States. So that tells you something, is that these guys have had such efficiency gains that OPEC can do whatever they can do, but they're finding their own price floor, they're finding their own range to work with. And I've had anecdotal feedback by some very small players who are saying they can make a buck or two, even if oil falls $25 or $20.
So basically, but the other point is, isn't it that I think, as we discussed before, that around $50 is a like a neutral zone, a comfort zone. It's not too high for, you know, it's not too low. It's a level that you can defend if you want to keep oil bullish. It's a level you can make money if you're a, you know, a cheapo producer, et cetera, et cetera. So it sort of works and doesn't. I mean, everybody's unhappy and everybody's happy.
Very true. Well, but you see, at some point in time, if you start noticing U.S. and Canadian production going up, and other, you know, non-OPEC producers, especially in Latin America, and the production starts gradually climbing up, supply and demand economics come into play. So will you be able to hold it at 50? That's OPEC's problem. Let's say not everybody at OPEC, by the way, is content with 50, but let's say they settle on 50. Can they really hold it? Their capacity to hold it at 50. I'm not in the least suggesting that the Saudis are not the heavyweights that they are. They remain the one and only swing producer in the world. There's no doubt about that. But there is a new buffer producer in town, which is the United States, and that is complicating life. So either we're at 50. If we stay at 50, we're probably stuck here. So we might be having this conversation around about Christmas towards the end of the year, and we might still not have touched 60 by then, even though it doesn't look like it right now. If you're a spread better, just play with the news and take daily long calls. But in the wider scheme of things, I would still say net short.
Okay, well, we'll see how that pans out. Gaurav Sharma, oil analyst and business editor at the IB Times, thank you very much for coming today.